In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I want to start by asking you how we can measure the level of our prayer life. Obviously, we've been talking about how the Incarnation gives us a deeper access to bond with Christ and to have a deeper relationship with Him, and that ultimately materializes in our prayers, our communication with Him. And as we build on that, we got to ask if, you know, we can actually measure the depth of our prayers or the degree or the level of our prayer life. So this question, how we can measure the level of our prayer life, is essentially like asking, what's the level of our spiritual life as a whole? Okay, it's really no different. To measure your prayer life is pretty much the same as measuring your spiritual life as a whole. So it's like asking, what is the degree of my entire spiritual life? So if we ask that question, I think we can safely conclude it's all about the extent of our love and our sacrifice. I mean, no one can really argue that the more we grow in love, the more we grow in sacrifice, the more we advance in our spiritual life as a whole, right? So there's this theme of our spiritual life becoming centered in God and becoming centered in others, and the focus on myself is eliminated, okay? And as that sort of principle increases in my life, my spiritual life advances. So we could pretty much translate that more specifically to our life of prayer. The more I advance in my prayers is essentially a matter of how much I advance in love and sacrifice. The more my prayers are less about me and more about praying for others, glorifying God, loving Him, sacrificing to Him, then my prayers are advancing, or my prayers are ascending to a higher degree. Okay, so this is the essence of our advancement, is that our prayers progress from just simply making requests to offering love and sacrifice. And the more we love, the more we sacrifice in our prayers, the more we advance. And we know that love and sacrifice is just about stepping away from ourselves and offering to God our heart. Just simply thanking Him, glorifying Him, blessing His name, praising Him. So this is what I want to focus on, and especially as we reach the climax of Kiyak, we're just a couple of days from Nativity, we see that we're reaching the climax of the prayer life as a whole as well. Okay, St. Justin Martyr says, prayers and thanksgiving can be considered offerings of complete sacrifice which are accepted by God. The unique honor that's befitting of God is not burnt offerings, but to honor Him by giving thanks through praise and hymns, because He is our Creator. So, praising God, thanking God, blessing God, glorifying God, that's the perfection of our prayers. It's the most unselfish way to pray. It's the most loving way to communicate with God. Praising God is ultimately reserved for the heavenly hosts, for the angels. And that's what this whole season is all about. Kiyak is filled with praises. Sabo Arba, Kiyak praises. We have a joyful tune throughout all of our services. And even though we're fasting, it's not that sort of repentant tune that we have like during the season of Great Lent. So, praise and glorification, blessing God, thanking God, takes preeminence in our life. Not only is it like the climax of our progression, but we also approach prayer from that sort of mindset from the very, very start. Like if you think of when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So as soon as you address God, the very first thing is, "Hallowed be thy name. Your name is great, O Lord. Your name is above all other names. You are my creator. You are up here, and I glorify you." That's the very first thing we say. The very first part of our services is always the Thanksgiving prayer. Even if we have a funeral service, we thank and we begin with the Thanksgiving prayer in every single service. So this becomes our whole mindset from beginning to end. And as we focus on this, we start to advance in our love. We start to advance in our sacrifice. So, practically speaking, why do we thank Him? Why do we praise Him? If we look at the Psalms, King David is constantly telling us to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is good. Because His mercy endures forever. Praise Him for His goodness. He is worthy of praise. And that theme is all over the Psalms. I try to pull some references, but like there's no time to mention every single reference in the Psalms and throughout all of the scriptures, as a matter of fact. So the reason is because God is good. Because He is our Savior. Even the inanimate objects of creation know this. In the Psalms, we say, "The heavens declare His glory, and the firmament the works of His hands." So that's why we come to the fourth host in midnight praises. And we're so grateful for what God has done for us, the salvation that He's given us in liberating us from the slavery that we experienced in Egypt and taking us to the promised land. And finally, we come to this joyful state and we cry out to all creation, "Praise Him, all you mountains, praise Him, all you hills, praise Him, all you seas and the clouds and the winds and everything." Because they also know this all too well. All creation knows that God is good. So that's the reason why we create Him. We praise Him. We praise Him because of His goodness. Because what He's done for us. Praise and gratitude, thanking God, blessing God, is so magnificent that it's reserved for the angels. Like in heaven, what are the angels doing? What are the heavenly hosts doing? They're praising Him. That's why it's one of the greatest gifts given to man. If you know anything about me, and when I come to pray liturgy, I love to pray the Gregorian liturgy. And the reason I love to pray the Gregorian liturgy is like the depth of the words and the theme of all the prayers is just so profound. We come to the anaphora. And we say this beautiful part. We say, "You are He whom the angels praise and the archangels worship. You're He whom the principalities bless and to whom the dominions cry. You're He whose glory the authorities declare. You're He unto whom the thrones send up honor. Thousands of thousands stand before You and 10,000 times 10,000 offer You service. You're He whom the invisible bless and the visible worship. They all do Your word, O our Master." So we're saying everyone in heaven is praising You. All the heavenly hosts are praising You. Then the most beautiful part, just a little later, we come to say, "You have given to the earthly the praising of the seraphim." So everything that the heavenly hosts are doing, You've translated to us, poor, frail, earthly men. You gave the same office that belongs to the heavenly hosts to us here as we're standing in liturgy. That's why we conclude the anaphora by saying, "Holy, holy, holy, O Lord, heaven and earth are full of your holy glory." And that's what the cherubim, the seraphim, all the heavenly hosts are chanting. This is what we see in Isaiah whenever he sees the vision of the praise of the seraphim. And in the book of Revelations, whenever St. John gets a glimpse of heaven, he gets a glimpse of what eternal life looks like. He sees the cherubim, the seraphim, the 24 elders constantly praising, "Holy, holy, holy, O Lord, heaven and earth are full of your holy glory." That's why at the very start of the anaphora we say, "It is fitting indeed that we praise you, bless you, serve you, worship you, and glorify you." It is fitting. Like, nothing is more proper. Nothing feels right better than this, right? But it's not just like a feeling. This is the reality and the truth. Okay? So, what does it actually look like to praise God, to thank God, to bless God? Like, when we want to praise Him, bless Him, do we just start singing? Or like, what do we do? Okay, practically speaking, what does it actually look like? I wanted to share with you a prayer from St. Basil. And I think this gives us a very simple and practical glimpse of what thanking God or blessing God or praising God looks like in our prayers. So he prays in this way. He says, "I bless you, O Lord, though I am powerless, you strengthen my weakness. You stretch forth from above your helping hand and bring me back unto yourself. What shall I render to you, O all good master, for all the good things you have done and continue to do for me, the sinner? I'll not cease to bless you all the days of my life, my creator, my benefactor, and my guardian." So he starts out reflecting on the goodness of God. He starts out reflecting on his providence. He starts out acknowledging the grace of God, God's love, how He is the Creator, how He is the Beneficent One. So to thank Him, to praise Him, at its very foundation, depends on acknowledging the goodness and the beneficence of God. Okay? He continues to pray. He says, "I'll bless you, Lord, for you have shown me, the unworthy one, your abundant and boundless love, though daily I deliver myself to the devil through my own indolence, yet you regard and save me and snatch me from his traps. I bless you, Lord, for you have granted me the power to repent from my sins and have shown me the myriad occasions to return from my malice. I bless you, Lord, for though I am powerless, yet you strengthen my weakness. What thanksgiving shall I offer you? Wherefore, from daybreak until night, as a swallow, so I will cry, and as a nightingale, so I will sing joyfully, and I will cease not to bless you all the days of my life, my creator, my benefactor, and my guardian." So, he's repeating this constant theme, and the prayer goes on for a greater length. Just for the sake of time, I won't mention the whole prayer, but at the very core of what a life of gratitude and a life of praise really looks like, we find the heart acknowledging God's goodness, not just by words, but by reflecting on that goodness. Okay? So when we praise God, we thank God, we bless God, we progress from simply making requests to acknowledging His goodness. And so we're elevated to the heavenly life. We taste the joy and the sweetness of heaven. St. Gregory Palamas says, "Prayer changes from entreaty to thanksgiving, and meditation on divine truth of faith fills the heart with a sense of jubilation and unquestionable hope. This hope is a foretaste of future blessings, of which the soul even now receives direct experience, and so it comes to know in part the surpassing richness of God's bounty. In accordance with the psalmist's words, taste and see that the Lord is good. For he is the jubilation of the righteous, the joy of the upright, the gladness of the humble, and the comfort of those who grieve. And again, this isn't just simply just saying some words. But when we thank God, when we praise God, the praise, the singing, has to come from the depth of our hearts. Okay, and it can be silent. There can be a silent praise. Father Tadros Melty says, praise in its broad sense is not just singing certain sections from within church praises in specific tunes. It's a sign of victory in the life of the church and all human existence. Right? Even when Saint Mary heard the announcement from Archangel Gabriel, she said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So there's an internal function when it comes to praising God and thanking God. Okay? And that's why praising God, thanking God is so beautiful. It's so magnificent because it's an interior process, right? It requires a certain depth that progresses beyond just simply making requests. And it's ironic because we say that this is like the higher level of prayer and it's a sacrifice. It's our offering to God. But in reality, it's more beneficial to our souls, right? In reality, we're the ones receiving by offering to God our gratitude and our praise. Like, we're not adding to God anything by praising Him. St. Maximus the Confessor says, every genuine confession humbles the soul, and when it takes the form of thanksgiving, it teaches the soul that it has been delivered by the grace of God. So we learn of God's grace, we learn of God's deliverance when we give thanks to Him. Like, we taste the goodness of God's salvation. So we are the ones benefiting from that. St. John Chrysostom says, in point of fact, thanksgiving adds nothing to Him, but it brings us closer to Him. For if when we call when we recall the providence of men, we are warmed by an increased affection for them, much more when we continually bring to mind the benefits of the Master towards us, shall we be more earnest with regard to His commandments. So we grow in that warmth, we grow in that affection for God when we thank Him. Just like when we think of a good friend and what wonderful things he's done for us. We're more mindful of the love that dwells between us. Okay? Now, I want to ask a simple question when it comes to praise and the gratitude and the thankfulness that we offer to God and the joy that we have in our life. What actually comes first? What comes first? Is it praise and gratitude or joy? Do we praise and thank God because we are joyful? You know, if our life is going well and we're joyful, we praise Him, we thank Him. Or do we praise Him and thankful and consequently receive joy and gratitude and a spirit of gratefulness? Saint Paisius says, sometimes the devil deceives us and makes us unable to be pleased with anything. However, one can celebrate all things in a spiritual manner with doxology and secure God's constant blessing. So a lot of times we're fooled to think we can't really praise God and thank God because there's not much good in our life. And so our life is lacking joy. And that's why we typically don't have the joy and the peace that every Christian should experience in their hearts. Because we're fooled to think, oh, there's no reason to praise God and there's no reason to thank Him. Once something good happens in my life, then I will praise Him, then I'll feel better, then I'll have joy. But it's the other way around. When we praise Him, when we thank Him, we actually find joy. Okay? I remember that the most joyful people, the most grateful people that I have seen in my life were the people that we encountered when we went to Kenya, I think, 3 years ago. And it was one of the most beautiful trips of my life. Like, I saw these people that had absolutely nothing, but they were so joyful. So obviously, I saw that they're praising God, they're thanking God, and the joy that they experienced was because of that sacrifice that they offered. It wasn't that they were waiting for joy to fill their hearts and they were waiting for something good to happen in order to praise Him and to thank Him. So we got to really think about that. Are we waiting for like a magic trick to happen and for our life to turn around in order to finally thank God and praise Him? Giving thanks to God is what produces joy in our hearts. St. John Chrysostom says, "Let's give thanks to God continually, for it's outrageous that when we enjoy His benefaction to us, indeed, every single day, we don't acknowledge with fervor, with so much fervor, with so much as a single word. And this, when the acknowledgement confers great benefit on us." So when we acknowledge the goodness of God, we are the ones who benefit. Right? And he goes on to say, He doesn't need anything from us, but we stand in need of all things for Him. So it's for our need that we praise Him and thank Him. I remember a priest that I used to serve with told me this beautiful story. He was burdened with so many troubles. And that's typically a common theme for a priest. There's a lot of different struggles that come our way. And he just decided to set all of these problems off on the side and to just go into church and to pray Tasbihah. And one of the people that shared a concern with Abuna, and obviously this was one of those issues that was troubling the priest, came into the church, and this person just kind of silently walked in and sat behind Abuna while he was praising God. Abuna just said, "I'm going to forget about all these troubles for now. I just want to praise God." And for about 2 hours, the priest was standing there praising God. And this woman that walked in and was hoping to speak to the priest about this problem that she had shared with him didn't want to interrupt him. So she just sat there and was present for the whole praises. After the 2 hours, the priest turns around and, you know, he's done walking out and he realizes this person was sitting there. And he says, "I didn't notice you were here. You could have just interrupted me for a moment. It's okay." And the priest said, "No, it's okay, Abuna. I actually wanted to talk to you about this problem. But now that I was present for the praise and the glorification and all the hymns, I think all my problems are solved. I trust God and I think God will actually take care of it. I don't feel worried about it anymore. For some reason, just being here was the solution." And he told me that that was it, just to take time to praise God. In the Philokalia, we find that freedom from anxiety makes the heart rejoice and give thanks. And the grateful offering of thanks increases the gifts of grace it has received. And as the blessings increase, so does the thankfulness, and so does the pure prayer offered with tears of joy. Slowly the man emerges from the tears of distress and from the passions and enters fully into the state of spiritual joy. So when we have anxieties, when we're troubled, when the stress in our life is increasing, there's actually more reason for us to pause and to thank God and to praise Him. Okay? And it's always irrelevant of the circumstances. Like, no matter what, we pause and thank Him. And that should be like a constant theme in our life. Pope Shenouda says, if you endure afflictions for God's sake, thank Him from the depth of your heart, because you are counted worthy to suffer shame in His name. It's from Acts 5:41. And he says, thank Him because He directed you to the narrow gate which leads to the kingdom of life. Thank Him for even that struggle. There's no reason that we shouldn't thank God and praise Him. Even in the story of St. Macarius, you know, he was married, and as soon as his wife departed, the very next line in the Synaxarium, we see that he thanked the Lord. And a lot of people laugh, like, oh, he's glad he finally got rid of his wife and he can go to the monastery. But the truth is, he was grateful even in a painful event like this. That's the level we all strive to have. The level of gratitude in every condition, of praising God regardless of what's around us. I remember how shocking it was to me when I was in junior high, and a friend of mine lost their father. And it was a very tragic event, and I was in the church, and I saw a group of servants that were inside the chapel, and they were praying Tasbeha on that very same night. And I realized that, you know, this is actually the tradition of the church. When a monk departs, they would take his body straight into the church, and they would praise God, because now the race is won, right? Father Tadros Melty says, we praise the Lord not only in public worship, but even in quiet personal moments. As St. Athanasius says, the rested soul forgets its pains, and by singing holy words, looks with joy to Christ alone. I want to leave you with a final concept to just walk away with. I've been focusing on this theme that praise is not just like in this specific service, like it's not reserved just for a church service or a certain function, but it's the daily work of the Christian, like at home, at church. It's a lifestyle. So St. Peter of Damascus puts it in a beautiful way. He says, we should give thanks to Him, as it is said, in everything give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Closely linked to this phrase is another of St. Paul's injunctions, pray without ceasing, and that's in the previous verse of 1 Thessalonians. That is, be mindful of God at all times, in all places, and in every circumstance. For no matter what you do, you should keep in mind the Creator of all things. When you see the light, do not forget Him who gave it to you. When you see the sky, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, marvel at these things and glorify their Creator. When you put on clothing, acknowledge whose gift it is and praise Him who in His providence has given you life. In short, if everything you do becomes for you an occasion for glorifying God, you'll be praying unceasingly. And in this way, your soul will always rejoice, as St. Paul commands in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. So we can even pray for this. I mean, reaching a level of constantly glorifying God and thanking God and praising God requires work, and it's a grace that comes from God. We could actually pray for a more grateful life of prayer. We can pray for a prayer life that consists of more love. We can pray for a prayer life that consists of more sacrifice and more praise. I just noticed this in one of the Kyak hymns in praises just this week. The words in one of the hymns tell us, "I open my mouth with praise and say with a broken heart, O my Lord Jesus Christ, grant me a praising tongue." Grant me a praising tongue. Like, give me the ability to praise you. The next verse says, "That I may praise your name and thank you for your grace, O my Lord Jesus Christ, teach me your statutes." So, if we're struggling to really fill our prayer life with more love, more intimacy, with more gratitude, more sacrifice, more praise, then we ask God for that. We ask God to give us the grace to thank Him more, to give us more depth. Okay? And I'll end with this beautiful little contemplation from St. Basil. He says, "When you sit down to eat, pray. When you eat bread, do so thanking Him for being so generous to you. If you drink wine, be mindful of Him who has given it to you for your pleasure and as a relief in sickness. When you dress, thank Him for His kindness in providing you with clothes. When you look at the sky and the beauty of the stars, throw yourself at God's feet and adore Him who in His wisdom has arranged things in this way. Similarly, when the sun goes down and when it rises, when you're asleep or awake, give thanks to God who created and arranged all things for your benefit, to have you know, love, and praise their Creator. Unto God is due all glory forever and ever. Amen."